You know what we need? We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. What a wonderful weekend in New York it is. I hope you're enjoying yourself. And I hope you are using your sunscreen because you really need it this weekend. Do you know that the UV index today was 8.6? That's pretty high. And that means if you're out in the sun without sun protection after 20 minutes, you're going to get burned. And this time of year, here we are in June, this time of year is the most dangerous time of year for sunburn because everybody, no matter what your skin color, your skin is at the lightest this time of year. So whether you're very, very light, if you're very light-skinned or very dark-skinned, if you look at the color of your skin during the year, this is the lightest time of the year. So when you go out in the sun, you are going to get burned. So I hope you're using an SPF, at least 15 if you're just walking around the streets of New York. But if you're going to the beach, if you're playing tennis, if you're on the golf course, if you're going to Singapore with the president, you should be using an SPF 30. Actually, I don't know what the weather report in Singapore is. Maybe we could find that out. All right. Well, this is the show about you, the show about your wrinkles and your jowls and the turkey gobbler in your neck. And I know you have one if you're over 50, although I do every now and then meet someone that doesn't. They have extraordinary genes, but most people do. Because we're all human and we age in a very predictable way. That's right. Even Jennifer, she does. So she's looking at me. I don't age. Of course you do. Well, this is a show about fat on the hips and small breasts and droopy breasts and tummies that are overstretched after pregnancy. This is the plastic surgery show, the skincare show, a little bit of fashion, some general health, but for the most part, we're looking in the mirror and judging you and deciding what we can do for you. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon. I've trained at some pretty good places up at Harvard and at Cornell and the University of Chicago, and I'm board-certified in plastic surgery, not in other things. So you can give me a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. Tonight, we're giving away bottles of Nighttime. Nighttime is the one-stop shopping for skincare. It's all you need. It really is. You go into those stores, and it is really daunting, isn't it? You just don't know what to buy. There's shelf after shelf, and I call it the fragmented product syndrome. That means the real industry, that's not my company, but the big guys out there, well, they don't want to put more than one active ingredient in a product at a time. And you know why as well as I. They want you to buy 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 different products. And they give you a complex regimen to use. If you look at some of the big companies, maybe 6 steps in the morning, 8 steps at night. Who will do that? Put your hands up if you're willing to. I bet you're not. In fact, my patients, who are the most motivated patients on earth, they're so motivated, they're willing to undergo the knife to look better. And yet my patients will not do that because after about 2 weeks, you kind of get tired with a multi-step program and then maybe you cut out a few steps. And by the time you're at a month or 2 months, you're doing one or two things and then you switch brands. And that's the syndrome. So what you want is a nice simple program. My Nighttime has vitamin A, vitamin C, it's got citric acid, it's got lactic acid, it has milk thistle. The what made it difficult was putting all this in one serum that would really work and stay. It's the real vitamin C. It's not that fake stuff. Fake news out there. Fake vitamin C. It's not fake. It's the real stuff. And if you try it, I think you'll like it. We're giving away bottles to callers tonight, 800-848-9222. And I've done the study, by the way. I've shown a decrease in the appearance of wrinkles. You see, the FDA says we can't say a decrease in wrinkles because, I don't know, they have their rules. So we have to say things like it decreases the appearance of wrinkles. So it does, and it smooths the skin. They let me say that. It evens out the skin tone. They let me say that. And I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about all skincare companies. We have very strong restraints by the FDA. So you can't say things like it inhibits the production of melanin. That's not allowed. You can't say that. You have to say things like, well, it evens out the skin tone. So that's what mine does. And if you give it a try, 800-848-9222, give me a call. All right, today we've got a lot to talk about. So let's get down to business. We're going to talk about, have you seen, this is really amazing. It was in the New York Times. It was in all the newspapers on television, the dancing surgeon of Atlanta. How many of you have seen that? Oh, my goodness. This is just an amazing story, and this is a woman, dermatologist, not a plastic surgeon. Why she's doing surgery is a whole different story. We'll get to that maybe. But what she was doing was singing and dancing in the operating room, and her nurses were synchronized, and they were on board, and the anesthesiologist was doing all sorts of things. I mean, very comical and kind of a good video, except for the fact that we realize that this is someone that's operating on a live human being in the operating room. Are you kidding me? This person's under anesthesia, and this is a very serious time. It's not a time when we're in the operating room. It's not a time for fooling around. You know, when I was a resident at Harvard Medical School, my chief, a guy named Dr. William Silin, and many of you who either grew up in Boston or are physicians and trained through the Harvard system or went to Harvard Medical School, you know what I'm talking about. Dr. Silin was a very, very strict surgeon. He's still alive, and he's a great guy. He is a great teacher, but he demanded in the operating room absolute attention to detail, and heaven forbid you spoke, you're out of the operating room. He'd throw you out. And the reason for that is because infection rate goes up when there's a lot of idle chattel in the operating room. We don't want bacteria. We don't want viruses in the air. It's a very serious time. Your concentration must be absolute. So, you know, I can kind of blabber when I'm in the operating room, but if someone asks me a question, I have to kind of, I get distracted. So I say, please, you know, no questions unless it relates to the patient. But we don't want to be talking about miscellaneous things in the operating room. So when you get someone who actually is videotaping these dance routines in the operating room with naked patients that have not consented, it's just unbelievable. You know, I would have to say that she's not a member of AOA, which is our National Honor Society, because professionalism is number one for AOA. So that's not too professional. Well, as it turns out, kind of predictable. This all broke out about a week or so ago, and then just a couple days later, she had her license temporarily suspended because of a terrible incident with a patient who was having multiple surgical procedures and wound up, I believe, in the intensive care unit. That's predictable. And then you look in the educational background of the person. Well, she went to a good American medical school. I think it was UCLA. Did her dermatology residency at Emory. But then you say, well, wait a minute. I didn't know dermatologists were surgeons. They're not. They're not surgeons. There are 24 boards, I believe, that are certified by the American Board of Medical Specialties. And there are surgical boards and medical boards. And the surgical boards are ones like the American Board of Plastic Surgery, the American Board of Otolaryngology, that's ENT. There's the American Board of Urology. There's the Board of General Surgery. There's the Board of Thoracic, and so on. The Board of Dermatology is a medical board. And yes, you know, they certainly, dermatologists are great physicians who are very good at diagnosing skin conditions, and many take off little things on the skin. But what on earth is a dermatologist doing liposuction or a breast augmentation in her on her website, or a tummy tuck? That is scary. I mean, that's the word. It's scary. A real surgeon knows that's scary because it's serious business. And, you know, the law allows physicians in almost all states to practice anything within medicine and surgery. And that's a real flaw because it goes back to the 1930s when general practitioners took out gallbladders, they took out tonsils, they delivered babies, they took care of little children and things like that. But we're here in 2018 and these antiquated laws need to be fixed. And this is an example of it. Well, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? We've got so many things to talk about today. So let's get to our very first call. Anne, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle? Are you there, Anne? Did Anne drop off? Anne, you didn't wait for me. All right, maybe she'll call back. But let's go to Judy first, and maybe we can get Anne back. And call back, Anne.
Hello?
Yes, Judy. What can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
Well, this is my question. I have been told by a dermatologist and a plastic surgeon to use or to get Botox injections because I have been complaining about wrinkles near my mouth and my chin. And I am hesitant to do this because of all the commercials on TV about the side effects of Botox.
Well, hang
so
on
like,
here a minute.
I would like your take on, you know, on Botox injections.
Okay. Well, first of all, Botox is an unbelievably safe drug. And by the way, for those listeners out there, there's more than just one drug like this. We kind of call all these drugs Botox now, and I suppose the Allergan company enjoys that because they get free publicity, just like Kleenex, you know, those are the things that we blow our nose into, right? But their Kleenex is a brand and Botox is a brand also. So is Xeomin, X-E-O-M-I-N. So is Dysport. Those are the three. And more are coming next year, by the way. There are more companies that are introducing similar products. But they all work pretty much the same way. So I think it's okay to call them all Botox. And everybody knows what they are if I do. So let's talk about that. Now, Botox is a wonderful drug. And it's a complicated drug. And we're going to take a little break right now. So when we come back, I want you to hang on, Judy, because I want to tell you all about Botox, what's good and what might be bad. I'll be right back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board certified plastic surgeon. This is the show about you. And this is a show that you can call by giving us a call. Can't do it any other way. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. So we were talking to Judy. Judy, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thanks for holding on. And we were talking about, just started to get into the discussion of Botox. So now Botox, here's how it works. It paralyzes the muscles. And it will paralyze virtually any muscle. So no matter where we inject it, it's going to paralyze a muscle because it blocks the connection between the nerves and the muscles. And it's a temporary blockage. The average person, the effect lasts about 4 months. And anywhere from 2 to 6 months is the range. So what it does is by blocking that muscle pull, the repetitive motion injury that occurs on your skin, called a wrinkle, is decreased. That means when the muscle can't move, can't continually contract, the skin no longer can corrugate over it, and the wrinkle isn't recreated every time you make a face at your kid or your spouse or your coworker, right? So
right.
Now, here's how it works, though. Since Botox, it's really a very, very good substance in the forehead. So the horizontal lines of the forehead, the vertical lines between the eyebrows, the crow's feet, it works great on those areas. Here's the problem. You mentioned you wanted it around your mouth. Now, around the mouth, it's a lot more complex because there are, I believe, 23 muscles that make up the smile muscles. It's a very complex array of muscles. We have to learn that in first-year medical school. So that we know all the different muscles and we take the test and most people forget about it. But plastic surgeons need to remember those muscles. And if we inject Botox into those muscles to try and decrease the wrinkles, we can get an asymmetry if we're not exactly the same on both sides or the same depth in the muscle. And the other thing that happens around the mouth when we inject Botox is lisping. I don't want to lisp, but lisping occurs because we can't properly enunciate. We can also get drooling. Remember that Joan Rivers commercial? Am I drooling? You know, it was very funny, and she made fun of her own Botox. and other procedures. So I don't think Botox is great around the mouth. Now, where I do use it in the lower part of the face is on the chin. A lot of people do get little dimpled chins.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's almost a little like the skin of an orange, the chin looks like. Now, if we put just a little bit of Botox in the center of the bottom of the chin, we can decrease that. And it works very well, but you have to be very careful because if we move just a quarter inch to the side, then we Botox the muscles that help with the smile and depress the lower lip. So it really is an artistic endeavor. And that's why I always cringe when people take these two-hour courses and someone's nurse, or I've heard aestheticians injecting Botox. Just crazy. So long answer is Botox is the short answer. I gave you the long one. The short answer is I love Botox in the forehead and around the crow's feet. But for wrinkles around the mouth, I think it's much better to use filler such as Restylane or Juvederm, or there's a lot of different fillers now, but the ones I like the most are hyaluronic acid. And we fill those wrinkles. And sometimes I saw a woman this week who had a lot of scarring from electrolysis. And a lot of women have had that in the past. And you get this real marbled appearance, particularly of the upper lip and the chin. And filler, it's kind of hard to fill in those little tiny cracks and wrinkles from electrolysis scarring. And so sometimes we'll do still dermabrasion, which is an older procedure. It's been around since the 1960s. Or we'll do a CO2 laser, which is a procedure from the 90s that is still being done, and I still do it. Sometimes we'll do the fractionated version of that, but it works very well. And then when the dust has settled, we'll use some filler. So there's all sorts of approaches. And a board-certified plastic surgeon, someone who lives and breathes this stuff, is going to have all the answers for you, everything from skincare to surgery. And it's a little different than when you go to the emergency medicine guy who hangs a sign behind his or her desk that says, I've taken that two-hour course. They won't tell you that, with a half-hour lunch break. But that does happen, so you have to be careful. Okay, right. Judy?
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for calling What's Your Wrinkle? And I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, and this is the show about you, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. And you know what I didn't mention at the beginning of the show? We have all these specials for our skin creams, and this week we have a lot of different specials going because we're changing our packaging, and I'll tell you more about that in the upcoming weeks. I have a partner with my skincare company who's got, he likes different packaging. So we're going to be changing our packaging. And, you know, some people don't like the flowery look of the Time on my box. Some people want test tubes and things like that. Anyway, we're changing that. So we're clearing out our shelves of Nighttime first and then later. So we're discounting it quite significantly. And it's very good material. It's good Nighttime. But we're getting a new order in with different packaging very soon. So what does that mean to you? You win. Three bottles of Nighttime this week, $99. It's normally $65 a bottle. Plus, we're going to give you a free bottle of Soft Time also. So that's an incredible deal. If you're used to paying $65, now you get it for $33. Put it in the refrigerator if you're not using it, and it'll stay longer. You have to use I've got all this coffee here. I've got to really be up for the show in Madison Square Garden here. Night 99, Night, N-I-G-H-T, 99 is the code for that one. There's another special if you don't want all those bottles of Nighttime. My kits are going at, maybe not quite the special as that one. They're the basic kit, which has Nighttime, Daytime, and Clean Time. And then the complete kit, which adds the moisturizer called Soft Time. The kits are going at their standard prices, but you get a free bottle of Nighttime with them. And you have to use the word spring cleaning. Spring cleaning. So if you go to the Facebook page, you'll see all these different specials there. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Now, in past weeks, we started a long discussion about lasers and light emitting instruments called intense pulse light. And we got to some of those over the last few weeks, but I've gotten a lot of emails during the week. And, you know, it's only an hour show, and I got a pretty harsh email last week. And it said, Dr. Perry, you promised to get to the rest of the lasers. Well, you know, I like taking your calls, and I do put them in front of the information in the show. But we'll go ahead and talk a little bit more about intense pulse light. It's not something we've talked about a lot on the show over the last 13 years, but intense pulse light is a very useful technology. What is it? It's not quite a laser. So once again, I'll give you a little physics lesson. Remember physics in high school? You learned about lasers. This is where your eyes glaze over. So I'll make this real fast. Lasers are one color of light, one wavelength of light, very, very specific. But intense pulse light is a blend of a bunch of different colors of light, but still not the entire spectrum, not that whole rainbow, not the whole chandelier of light that you have. So what is it useful for? Well, for the most part, it's very useful for acne, and we talked about that. So we won't go into too much detail, but if you've got acne, intense pulse light is actually quite good, both for adolescent acne and adult acne, which, by the way, a lot of adult acne is due to product sensitivity or product allergy. So one of the first things I do when a patient comes in and they've got adult type acne, not that cystic acne, it's different, but adult type acne, the periodic little breakouts that you get, is we want to stop products. That's number one. Stop everything you possibly can, and then add back one by one the different products that you use, or go to less toxic products. But intense pulse light is pretty good for acne, and it's also good for lightening red and lightening brown spots. So it's fairly nonspecific. It's not like the laser where we aim right at a brown spot or right at a capillary. It's a kind of a field approach to the face. And we go over, and it's multiple treatments. And, you know, how does it work? Well, it's actually pretty interesting how it works. The intense light actually disrupts the pigment that's being transported. It gets a little complicated, but in your skin, there's cells that make pigment. And they're called melanocytes, and they make brown pigment, and they deliver that pigment to the upper layers of the skin. Well, when this intense light is shined at those cells and at the pigment, it goes straight to the upper layer of skin, and it disrupts them. It disrupts the pigment, and it's delivered to the skin and shed faster. So that's how it lightens the skin. So it's not stopping the production. But if we use a drug like hydroquinone, or if we use something like vitamin C, or one of the herbal things that like I have in my nighttime, then we can also slow or even stop, probably not stop, but slow the production of melanin into the skin. And then if we use things like niacin stops the delivery of that brown pigment to the skin. So there's many approaches to lightening the skin or evening out the skin tone. But the intense pulse light is one of those, and it's very, very effective. Which brings up, what about those intense pulse light machines that you can buy in your own home and use? Oh, my goodness. I always get worried when I see these things, and you see them all over the place. Apparently, they're legal. The companies get FDA approval. But what is it with these machines? Do they really work? You know, the hair removal ones, the tattoo removal ones. The wrinkle and brown spot removal ones, well, you know, to a certain extent, they're based on real science. But so that they don't hurt you, the intensity, the strength of these machines are usually quite low. So probably a little too low to do anything permanent. They might have some temporary effect, maybe. But there was a paper that was just published a couple months ago. One person tried to remove his own tattoo. This is a 19-year-old guy who bought one of these machines, tried to remove his own tattoo, and used one of these intense pulse light machines. And I'm going to have you on the edge of your seat, because I'm going to tell you what happened to this 19-year-old at the end when we come back from our break. So you have to stay with the show. That's how we get you to stay. So we're going to break for a moment. 800-848-9222. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. We'll be back with the end of that story after these words.
What's your wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry?
What's your wrinkle? And what is your wrinkle? This is a show that answers that question and your questions. So give me a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. This is the show about you. If you're just listening, if you just tuned in, where have you been for 13 years? I've been here every Saturday evening. My wife loves it that I take all her Saturday evenings. But I love being on the radio. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, is this something new in my career? Yeah, I was the morning guy at WRSU-FM, Rutgers Radio, in the 1970s. I was the guy that broadcast the news to the breakfast in the Commons. So if you remember this voice, if you were at Rutgers in the 1970s, that's what you were listening to. And we continue the career. But during the week, I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, and I'm in the operating room several days a week and in the office the rest of the time. And I love doing facelifts and eyelid lifts and rhinoplasties and breast augmentations. That's what I do when I'm not on the radio. So anyway, I was telling you before the break about this 19-year-old guy who bought one of these machines. It's an intense pulse light machine for tattoo removal. I don't know where exactly he got it, but he used it according to the way he was supposed to. He followed the instructions exactly. And what happened to him? Actually, it was every 2 weeks he treated himself just the way he was supposed to. And lo and behold, what happened? He scarred and developed keloids exactly where the tattoo was. Now he's got this giant scar. So could that have happened in the doctor's office? I suppose. But I really don't know what happens with these machines and whether or not they're as rigorously regulated as the ones that I use are. You know, whenever you do something at home, whether it's a home plumbing job and you get a leak or a home tattoo removal, I think it's a little bit dicey. Everybody wants to save money. Everybody wants to maybe do it the easy way and not have all those appointments. But I don't know. You know, I'm not going to fly my own plane, and I don't think I would do my own surgery unless I'm a surgeon that could do it. All right, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. So now this intense pulse light, it is a very interesting technology, and it is useful for acne. It's well shown that a number of treatments can help the inflammation of acne. And it's not just, the occasional pimple. It's actually pretty active acne that it is useful for. And there are papers that date back many years now with intense pulse light that support the use of it. But let's say you have those little capillaries on your face. So a lot of people get them on their cheeks, and a lot of people get them around their nose, particularly after a rhinoplasty, by the way. Very common to develop those capillaries. Is intense pulse light a reasonable way to go? Yeah, you know, it works. But that's usually one that the YAG laser is better suited for. So the YAG laser is a very specific laser that's tuned to the color of red of those capillaries. And we zap it. You know, this is the one that I did to Dr. Oz on the Dr. Oz show. And he screamed at me when I lasered him. I can't talk about my patients unless I do the actual treatment on television. So that one I can talk about. But the YAG laser is a good way to go for those capillaries. But if your doctor doesn't have the YAG laser and has intense pulse light, as long as you're willing to have a number of sessions, you will definitely decrease the intensity of the redness of the capillaries. And at the same time, you'll even out the skin tone because it helps the brown, as I mentioned earlier. So intense pulse light is the way to go. YAG lasers, if your capillaries are a little bit more visible. There are lots of lasers. There's lasers for tattoos. There's lasers for hair removal. Lasers for wrinkles. The CO2 laser came in 1995 with a bang. Yeah, I'm telling you, it was such a big thing. It's not as popular now, mostly because of those fillers. So if you've got those lines around your mouth, I used to laser those every time. But in 2003, the fillers came in. And so now we usually use the fillers. But there are many of you, and you know who you are, that have so many wrinkles and little tiny crosshatch wrinkles that it's not practical to fill all of those. And so then we'll go ahead and do a laser treatment and then fill the rest with wrinkle fillers. So the non-invasive procedures in cosmetic surgery they're just really growing by leaps and bounds. But eventually you look in the mirror and you say, you know what? I've had fillers. I've had Ulthera. That's one of those things that lifts the jowls and smooths the neck. I've had laser procedures, but you know, I'm looking older. What do I do? Is it really time for a facelift? So facelifts are not extinct. I mean, they're great procedures, and they're better now than they ever were, because the procedures now that I'm doing, and probably about half of plastic surgeons in the country, are doing these short scar facelift procedures. They're better for you for a whole lot of reasons. They're actually harder for the plastic surgeon, because when we use little incisions instead of these big incisions, then, you know, surgery is in general a little bit more difficult. You know, it's really nice to be able to make these really big incisions and see everything, but that's not good for you. So we used to make incisions in the hairline, and then up into the hair, and then in front of the ear, and then around the back, and then into the hair in the back. And boy, those, if you know anyone that had a facelift before about 10 years ago, and even now, look behind her ear, and you'll see some pretty bad scars in almost everyone. Behind the ear, it's really difficult to get good scars. No matter what technique is used, that is an area that just tends to look bad. And so the short scar facelift eliminates the scars behind the ear, eliminates the scars in the hairline, eliminates loss of hair. It's done a really nice job for women who might have a high forehead, or who like to wear their hair back. If you like to wear your hair in a ponytail, if you go swimming, you know, you come out of the water, and if you've got a scar within your hair, the hair tends to part right at the scar, unfortunately, and it's really difficult to hide that. And so what happens, women who have had facelifts often don't go swimming in public places after that. Well, with the short scar facelift, you can. So that's a nice advance in plastic surgery. And I do these facelifts under local anesthesia with sedation. And you say, oh my goodness, am I really going to be awake during a facelift? It's better for you. And the reason it's better for you is because, one, 20% of people, maybe even as high as 30%, get nauseated with general anesthesia. And if you have nausea and vomit after a facelift, not a good thing. In fact, not good after any facial cosmetic surgery, because you could bleed into the area. So by eliminating general anesthesia, we use a few drugs, things like Versed, which has an extremely low nausea rate. We use propofol, which is a great drug despite the notoriety that Michael Jackson gave it. If you get it from a board-certified anesthesiologist, it's a great drug. If you give it to yourself, not so good. And then there's ketamine, which also is a wonderful drug, and we use it in facelifts all the time. If you use it out on the street, not so good either. But ketamine is a wonderful drug because I can completely numb you up. I could probably do an appendectomy under ketamine, and you're awake, but you wouldn't feel a thing. So we do that and then kind of let you kind of drift through a little sleep, but sedation for the duration of the procedure. We numb up your face. I make incisions in front of the ear, and it curves, goes inside the ear for a short distance, and then just behind the ear for about a quarter of an inch. And through that incision and one under your chin, we lift the jowls. We tighten the muscles of the neck. We remove the fat of the neck, and really take a number of years off of your appearance. And a facelift is such a wonderful procedure. And, you know, there's only about 120,000 in the United States each year. And that's interesting to me because there are 65 million women that could benefit from a facelift. I don't know why you all don't have these procedures. I guess maybe you don't enjoy surgery as much as I do. I love going into the operating room and doing facelifts. But certainly, a lot of you come into my office and say things like, well, Dr. Perry, I want to do everything but surgery. I've had a few people last week. No, we're not having surgery. But then by the end of the consultation, people usually say, well, you know, can you just show me the pictures of someone that had a facelift? And we get into that discussion because I do think that eventually, if you care about your appearance, eventually a facelift might be in your future. Now, the question is, do you do it early? Or do you do it late? We've discussed this on the show before. Early means in your 40s. And Jennifer, who's like 19 years old, is looking at me and saying, 40s? No way. But you know, if you have a facelift earlier, before you get the really deep wrinkles, before those crags set in, before you have almost fixed cosmetic, we call them cosmetic deformities, you do better and it lasts longer. And this is sort of counter to what I was taught 30 years ago. We were taught, well, postpone it as long as possible because you only get one or two facelifts in your life. But as it turns out, if we do the facelift earlier, you get the benefit earlier and it lasts much longer than if you have a facelift. If you wait till you're 65 and have a facelift, you might need another one at 70. But if you do it at 45, you might get all the way to 60 or 65 before you really look in the mirror and say, well, it's time for another one. So it's like that question of when to buy the computer. You know, do you get that Apple computer now or you wait till next year when you know it's going to be better and faster and cheaper? You know, it's a complex question, but that's what a consultation with a board-certified plastic surgeon is all about. We sit down, we talk about everything from skin care to the non-invasive procedures like fillers and Botox and the laser procedures and peels and things of that nature. And then we talk about surgery. And everybody has their own level of comfort, and some people are only comfortable with the non-invasives. In fact, I had someone a couple weeks ago who said, I don't even want needles for fillers. So what do you have? Well, there's not too much left. You know, we have peels, we have lasers, and we have Althera. Those are the truly non-invasive because they don't even penetrate your skin with a needle. We call the procedures like Botox and fillers non-invasive. But I suppose if you have 300 needles injected into your face, it's hard to call that non-invasive. But we distinguish between that and real surgery where we have to numb you up or use general anesthesia and make incisions and lift tissue. That's considered real surgery. So there's a big difference, and everybody has their own level of comfort. And once again, I sit down with you and I don't try and sway people because, you know, the last thing I want to do is convince you to have something you don't really want. So you really need to tell me what it is that you want. I'll present all the options to you. And it's not a hard sell. It should never be a hard sell. If you go to the plastic surgeon, the last person, by the way, said, oh, her doctor said, I need Botox. You know, that's not the best thing. It's what you say to the doctor, not what the doctor says to you, unless you ask the doctor, hey, what do you think I should do? And I've mentioned before, I don't really like that approach because what bothers me might be very different from what bothers you. Well, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222. Give us a call. You'll get your bottle of Nighttime. Nighttime is the one-stop shopping for skincare. 800-848-WABC. We've got another segment to the show. I've got a lot more to talk about. In fact, I'll probably be talking after the show also. Give me a call, 800-848-9222. We'll be right back.
What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. The phone number here at WABC is 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. Give me a call and ask me the questions that have been keeping you up at night, and I know you have those. You're sitting there in bed wondering, what should I be doing to make myself look better? You know, I say that in jest, but it's really true because I have patients in my New York and New Jersey offices all week long, and they do have these questions, and they write them down, and they have been saving up for their appointment with me, and it's an hour consultation, by the way, so we don't do these 15-minute things. You know, there's a big difference between a free consultation and a real consultation because what I do is I examine you. We take some photographs, we might alter your images on the computer screen, and we discuss what you might benefit from and go through all the pluses and minuses. And, you know, often the consultation takes longer than an hour and sometimes even an hour and a half, and try and limit it. My nurse is always telling me I'm taking too long, but how can I not answer all your questions? I certainly try. All right, 800-848-9222. This is the way to get a free consultation with me, but it's not a real consultation. You know that. It's a radio consultation, and I cannot give you personal advice over the radio. You know that. I can only try and educate you and steer you the right way and maybe entertain you a little bit. But if you have a real medical issue, you've got to see your own doctor or make an appointment with me. So how many of you have seen those advertisements for plastic surgeons on Facebook and Instagram and all those other social media sources? I bet you a lot of you. And then you wonder, what's the validity of the information I'm getting? Well, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons did a survey, and they looked at hundreds of thousands of these posts on Facebook and on Instagram. And it turns out that most of these advertisements for cosmetic surgery are not by real board-certified plastic surgeons. You can't imagine who posts these things, these to get you to come to their offices. I mean, there are barbers, salons, dentists, non-certified physicians, and they're advertising, and it makes it seem like they're board-certified plastic surgeons. So, you know, it's hard for you to know who's who because you trust people. But you have to do a little bit of homework in this field, unfortunately. I wrote a whole book on this topic, Straight Talk About Cosmetic Surgery. You can still get that, by the way, on Amazon. I'm writing another one. I've been two months away from finishing this next book for about 2 years now. So I'll get it done for you, and I've got all the new procedures in the new book. But in the meantime, Straight Talk About Cosmetic Surgery is out there, and it will give you a lot of good guidance. But you have to be careful because you don't know who's a board-certified plastic surgeon. Here's a little hint. If someone calls themselves a cosmetic surgeon, that's usually a hint that they're not a real plastic surgeon because plastic surgeons call themselves plastic surgeons. And non-plastic surgeons, such as everybody else who wants to do plastic surgery or cosmetic surgery and is allowed by law but is not certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, they tend to call themselves cosmetic surgeons. And you have to be very careful because there are all sorts of different physicians that are not trained properly, and dentists and nurses and physician's assistants and even estheticians that are doing all these procedures now, and you really have to be careful. I wind up fixing so many of these funny-looking results. One of the most common things, you know, it's my own little botched show that I have in my office where we get women both in the New Jersey and the Manhattan office, and the most common thing that I'm seeing now is just these overdone faces from filler. And people come in with these lips that it's really amazing. You know, it's really amazing what's going on out there with these lips. I'm trying to talk when I put my lips that way, but they look so big, like little salamis, and you know, or those knockwursts. I don't understand that. I just try and make women look normal, you know, natural. Why, you know, I have pretty big lips. You know, why do people want these enormous? I don't think you really do want these enormous ones, except maybe those Kardashian people, which we try not to mention on the show. But they've got these enormous lips. And some people do come in and they ask for these things. And I tell them, you know, I'm going to make you look normal. If you want the guy that's going to give you the lip that looks like a knockwurst. Remember what I don't think they sell those anymore. Do they sell knockwursts anymore? I don't know. Anyway, I'm not the guy. The other thing that really is one of my pet peeves with filler is the liquid facelift. How many of you have seen advertisements for the liquid facelift? Oh, my goodness. That's one of these procedures where it's not a facelift, but the doctor, and I use the doctor in quotes here, the doctor puts so much filler in the face that it actually lifts the skin up. You kind of look like Schwarzenegger in one of those movies. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. Or you look like a pumpkin. Not a good thing. You know, we want you to look normal and natural and not like, you know, a vegetable of some type. You want, you know, you really, you don't want to go to a plastic surgeon for those things. So not so good. Oh, let's talk about, there was something else in the plastic surgery literature this week that's a little upsetting. How about Kybella? How many of you have had Kybella? That's that injection of the bile acids under the chin. You know, I've got a little of this fat in my neck. I wish I could suction it right out myself, but that's the best way to remove fat from the neck. But there are these non-invasive techniques, Kybella, Cool Sculpting, all these different techniques that work just a little bit. So they help just a little bit. So Kybella, I've talked about in the past. I'm not a big fan of it. I was going to do it, but I'm not going to do it. And this week there was a case of injection of Kybella into a blood vessel, and this whole little area of skin, thankfully the doctor recognized it very early and did all this treatment with these different drugs to preserve the skin so the skin did not necrose. That means it didn't die. But they did write it up in the dermatologic surgery literature. And it's the first known case of Kybella getting in a blood vessel. And I think there's going to be a lot more of these. And one of the reasons is because everybody and their brother who's not a plastic surgeon is doing procedures like this. And why is that? Why would a family doctor, why would an emergency room medicine doctor or an internist or the person out there in Atlanta that we talked about at the beginning of the show, why would they be doing these procedures? Well, why did Willie Sutton rob banks? You know, it's unfortunately that simple. If I were a board-certified gynecologist, I would be doing gynecology, not be injecting wrinkles and things like that. What can I say? I do what I'm trained to do. I remember a few years ago, the companies were trying to get plastic surgeons to brighten and lighten teeth. And they came to my office, and I said, why would I do that? I'm not a dentist. Well, it's a way to increase the profits in your office. I said, but I'm not a dentist. Why would I possibly want to do that? But I guess there are plenty of people that do that sort of thing. I don't. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WABC. This is a show that tries to really give you the straight talk. I try not to hype it up. I try not to tell you things that are not true. My attitude about cosmetic surgery is that I offer procedures, but I don't sell procedures. And that means, you come to the office and we have an honest discussion of what might be appropriate for you between skincare, non-invasive, and surgical procedures. And, I always say that if at the end of the consultation I have given you enough information so that you say, well, this is not for me, then I've done my job, because I'm here as a physician, not as a salesman. I'm not here to sign everybody up for every procedure. That's not what it's all about. There are a lot of people that are not appropriate for surgery, and whether it's you've got medical issues like diabetes or something like that, which would put you at very high risk for a procedure, or psychological problems. Maybe you've been depressed and you think that having a procedure will help your depression. It won't. It won't. And people that have depression need to be treated for depression before they undergo any cosmetic surgery. And they have to be fairly stable, in fact, very stable for a long period of time. Because I always say, what if you get a complication with cosmetic surgery and you have a mild depression? That could result in a disaster like suicide. We certainly don't want things like that. So we want you to be safe, both medically and psychologically, with surgery. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Before we end the show, I do want to mention my good friend Bobby Fallon. I've mentioned her very frequently on this show. She's the realtor from Highland Falls, New York. Highland Falls is 51 miles north of the George Washington Bridge. It's a beautiful town. I think Fox News was doing something outside the West Point Gate this week. They were in Highland Falls interviewing some people at a restaurant. Well, Bobby is a realtor there, and she's got the property at 173 Main Street. That's what you want to write down, 173 Main Street. If you've had it with a little tiny places in Manhattan that they call studios that you live in, outside in the suburbs, the kennels are larger than some of these studios. If you've had it with that, well, then you might want to give Bobby a call, 845-446-2238. She's got a great property for sale. It's got two bedrooms. It's got another one-bedroom apartment and an office. It's an incredible property at 173 Main Street, and now the reduced price at $385,000. You can't touch a studio in Manhattan for that. And you can live like a prince or a princess in Highland Falls, New York. 845-446-2238 is Bobby Fallon's number. And my number during the week is 212-753-1820. And in New Jersey, 732-422-9600. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. That music means Bruce is going to pull me right out of the studio to make room for the next guy or girl. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next Saturday at 6 p.m. Call me during the week. And don't forget my Facebook page, facebook.com/Dr. Perry. Bye-bye now.
This program was sponsored by Dr. Perry Skindustries, LLC. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.